Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Okay, Josh, I know you had that up high. It's all good. Finally, it means something. Not just the week, not just Sunday. This song. Here we go. Finally, it means something. Yeah, baby, we are ready to rock and roll. Ready to go. It is week number one in the National Football League. We are here. We've made it. I mean, haven't we said that like a million times? We've made it. We got past the preseason. We've made what? We get into training camp. We've made it. We get into the preseason. We've made it. We get past the preseason. We've made it. We get into week one Monday. We've made it. Thursday morning before the first game. We've made it. And now here we are on Friday. Where do you keep saying we've made it? Because we have made it. I love it. Sal Capaccio here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Glad to be with you today. Man, it has been an interesting last, 12 hours or so, I guess. I'm watching the highlights last night. Unbelievable. What a great game to start the season. Great game to start the season. Last year was a great game to start the season when the Lions went into Kansas City and beat them. And really, Ravens had every opportunity to beat the Chiefs. Came down to a toe, a big toe. I mean, if only Isaiah Likely had a smaller foot, we are talking about a different result this morning. In case you didn't see it last night, 27-20 win for the Kansas City Chiefs over the Baltimore Ravens. But at the end of the game, the Ravens had like three chances into the end zone from in close, like 12-yard line, wherever they were. First one, they say Lamar missed Isaiah Likely. I don't know. I mean, it would have had to be a nice tight window, but yeah, he probably could have hit him. And there was he was scrambling around a little bit, saw him in the back corner, threw it, tried to get it towards the pylon, towards the corner. Isaiah Likely went up. He came down. He actually got hurt, had to be out the next play as they went to another play in the end zone. And that's the one Lamar should have hit. I mean, Zay Flowers was wide open in the end zone. And Lamar missed him. Lamar was rolling to his right. Flowers was kind of going with him. Lamar threw it kind of back towards where Flowers was. And it didn't turn out. They didn't get it. Next play. Lamar just doing his best scrambling opportunity. And winds up having a window to throw it to Likely. Has to fit this one. It's a great throw. This one was a great throw. Hits Likely, who does a great job to then get his feet down. It's called a touchdown and then taken away because his big toe was on the line. So Sergeant Hulka with the big toe had a hand in last night's Chiefs-Ravens game. If you don't know what that is, kids, look it up. Movie Stripes. Sergeant Hulka with the big toe. That's what I haven't looked. I bet you there's some memes with that today from Stripes. So the Ravens start off 0-1. The Chiefs start off 1-0. We had a big debate here this week on who's better for the Bills to win this game. There's some good arguments on both sides. If you wanted the Ravens to win because you want the Chiefs to lose and just give them a loss, yes, I get it. And as Bulldog said, I'll worry about other people losing later in the year, like as far as playoffs and wild cards and whatever, but give the Chiefs a loss early, I think that's better. Better for the Bills. And I found myself rooting for the Ravens last night as the game was going on, because I think that's right. Matt Bove, my co-host on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo, Channel 7 sports director, he made the case to root for the Chiefs because, hey, the Chiefs are going to win anyway. They're going to win the West. They're going to be in the playoffs. They're going to have a look at the one seed. You're not really battling with them this year, just considering what the Bills' season might wind up being, but you might be battling with the Ravens for seeding, wild card even. Who knows? So, hey, from that standpoint, the Ravens are now 0-1. The Chiefs are 1-0. It's a great start to the season. And then tonight, which we'll get into later, we have Packers-Eagles in Brazil. The first Friday, they're calling it. It is. So people have brought up to me, people have said to me, hey, Sal, I thought the NFL was not allowed to play on Friday nights because of high school football. That's actually is a rule, but it doesn't start yet. It's got to be, there's certain windows, and this is the last weekend of this is like the last weekend that they can actually play on a Friday night, but they're also, actually, you know what it is? I'm sorry. I got screwed up a little bit. I think the reason they can do it, it's international. It's not in a market near a high school. That's what it is. I looked this up back in the summer when this was announced because I don't think the NFL should play on Friday nights. I think the college shouldn't play on Friday nights. Let's leave that to the local high schools. Let's allow people to go to their communities and their local high schools and spend their money and watch their kids. And that's how these high schools, you know, a lot of their lifeblood is their money they're making from some of these games and packing the stands. And I think the more we play on Friday nights in college and in the NFL takes away from that. People say, I'm going to stay home and watch the game. Now, of course, you can go to a high school game and watch it on your phone, but that's not the point. Go support your local high schools. I just have an issue with college and the NFL always playing on Friday night, but that's the reality of what we live in. And now we're going to see this a lot more, I think, with the NFL too. That's tonight. That's in Brazil. That's Packers-Eagles. On the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show today, which is brought to you by Northtown Automotive, whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Bills head coach Sean McDermott for his first of our weekly chats with him here on a Friday. Now, that will be adjusted as this month especially goes on because the Bills play Sunday, then they play Thursday, then they play Monday night, then they're back on a Sunday night, then a Sunday afternoon, then a Monday night. Woof. I mean, I think I got that right. So it's all going to be adjusted, but basically you get Sean McDermott every week and every Friday here on the Extra Point Show. And if there's a game on a different day, we'll adjust and we'll let you know exactly what the schedule is. But today we're expecting Sean McDermott at 10:45 a.m. So 10:45 a.m. for Sean McDermott. He will give us an injury update, as he always does. We'll talk about playing week one at the stadium. I'll ask him about the safety situation, Damar Hamlin starting, Mike Edwards, Cole Bishop, where they are in their timelines. They're full participants. They're healthy. But is Damar, you know, you want to be respectful and say, look, Damar won the job, right? He's not gonna put him in if he didn't earn the job. I get that. But how much of an element is it also that maybe Bishop and Edwards haven't been out there and haven't been playing? And the trust factor of the defense and being able to do everything you want to do on defense with a four-year veteran in Damar Hamlin. We'll ask about the wide receivers. Curtis Samuel's been a full participant. Looks like he's good to go on Sunday as well. As of right now, I would expect the only player that probably is going to be ruled out is Javon Solomon, rookie defensive end with an oblique injury. So that's great news. Mitch Trubisky, of course, also a full participant. And now it looks like he's getting to the point where he should be healthy enough to back up Josh Allen, and they might not have to elevate Mike White, but that's always a possibility, right? So we'll get the final injury report designation. And of course, we'll ask Sean McDermott about taking on the Arizona Cardinals today on Sunday as well on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Also today, at 11:30, Patrick Hammer gives us a weather outlook, a weather update for Sunday. I got to tell you, folks, I was mad. I was mad last week when he said, hey, look at it next week. There's a system coming. I'm just telling you right now, be weary. And at that point, I wasn't mad. But then all of a sudden, like a couple days later, I was texting with Pat, and he's like, it's not looking that good, Sal. But it's starting to look a little bit better, I believe. But we'll get it from him. I mean, it went from, now granted, Pat will always tell you, don't use those apps. They're just apps or computer models. I get it, but I do use the apps. I have to check the weather, right? So on my app that I check for the weather, it was like 50% chance rain on Sunday a few days ago. Then it went down to 40-something and then mid-30s. I opened up today, Josh. It said 3%. Three. It's nice. We're looking at what? I mean, Pat's going to give us the weather, but it's looking like it's going to be mid-60s, a little cloudy, maybe a stray shower in the area. It's going to be breezy, though. Is that your kind of football weather? I wouldn't mind a little hotter. Look, it's the first game of the year. They're not going to have a lot of really warm weather games. So I would prefer even hotter than that on Sunday for me personally.
I'm always a big jersey hoodie combo kind
of guy.
Like the hoodie under the jersey. But that's a little early for me right now. So honestly, this weather I think is perfect because you can wear jeans and be comfortable. You can wear shorts and be comfortable. You can wear a hoodie and be comfortable, and you can wear just like your jersey and be like, it's that perfect type of weather that you can be comfortable no matter what you do, pretty much. And I think that that's, you know, something we don't usually get during Bills season all that much, because usually you're either really, really hot and it's 95 degrees and you're in the sun, or it's negative 10 and you're bundled up in like 8 layers. But hey, that's why we love it, right?
Yeah, I mean, people say it's great football weather, and I don't disagree with that. I'm just telling you that if I only get one afternoon Sunday game in Orchard Park from now until October 20th, I want that to be nice and steamy and feel good down the sidelines. But yeah. I get the football part of it.
No, that's fair. I mean, it is the leaves are turning. It's September. Like, it's starting to feel more like, you know, fall and everything. So I can see it both ways, but I hate the heat personally. So I've always been a cold guy.
Yeah.
Like 50s and 60s is like my perfect temperature. So that's just me, though.
Well, you know, you're talking to a guy here, though, that the hotter the better when I golf. I like it hot when I golf. I like to play in the heat. Oh, yeah. I don't know why.
I
it just comes from playing in Florida, and I never had played until I lived in Florida. And then grew up, and, you know, I mean, I grew up, but started playing the game. It was super hot all the time, right? So I enjoy that. I'd rather literally play golf in 80-degree weather than 65. I know. I'm a little psycho like that. What I want to do for the next, let's say 20, 25 minutes, half hour, whatever, until Sean McDermott comes on, is get connected with you, our fans, which is always brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Also, forgot to tell you, in the 11 a.m. hour, it is back. It is back. It didn't happen yesterday, but it's back today. Three Dog Thursday on a Friday. We're going to do it on a Friday, though. Okay, you're going to get Three Dog Thursday today. On a Friday. Yesterday, we were out at Northtown Kia. It was a great time out there. We heard from the two coordinators, Joe Brady and Bobby Babich. That was awesome to be out there yesterday and meet a lot of you who came by. But today, because of the schedule, the way it worked out, we'll give you Three Dog Friday. You might be getting Three Dog Friday a lot this year instead of Three Dog Thursday, just so you know, because of the way the schedule is going to work out with me and the Bills and covering practice. So let's maybe even change it. We might have to change it to Three Dog Friday this year. We might have to do that, Josh. I know it doesn't roll off the tongue like Three Dog Thursday. I was thinking of Four Dog Friday, actually, and giving four dogs. Hmm. But I like the whole, Three Dog's been a brand, you know?
Yeah, but Four Dog Friday does roll off the tongue. I mean, Three Dog Thursday is probably like the most flowy. But Four Dog Friday.
What if we did this? All right, let's do this on the fly.
Five Dog Friday.
Yeah. What if we did this on the fly? Ready? What if we did Four Dog Friday? I give three and you give one.
Ooh, that's a lot of pressure.
I know.
Because I know your streak. And I don't want
to... No, it's I mean, streak. I think I have a winning record pretty much every year. At the end of the year, it might be a little over 500. I have to go back and look what I was last year. I think I was by the end of the year. I had a nice comeback because it was really uneven for a little while. But maybe, you know, we'll have to incorporate that in some way.
I'm in. I
want to do that?
Yeah, why not?
Let's I'd have it. To give you my four, three, and then you'd have to pick a different one.
Sounds good to me.
Okay, maybe we'll do it that way. We're going to do that today during the 11 a.m. hour, but... I want to hear from you. Here's what I want to do today. You ready? It's your chance to call your shot. Call your shot. You are the Babe Ruth of callers out there today. You're going to point to center field, and you're going to drill it over the fence. What's the Bills' record? How's the season finish? That's what I want to know. What's the Bills' record at the end of the year, and how does the season end? Does it end after just 17 games? They're done. We're packing up. We're doing a post-game show. See you next year. Does it end in the divisional round in a loss? Does it end in the AFC Championship game? Does it end with a parade down Delaware Avenue? What is the Bills' final record at the end of the season, and how does the season end? You're going to call your shot today, okay? I'm interested. You just call up. You give your name. Call your shot. We'll remember you. You can call back. Here's what we'll do. I'm going to write down everybody who calls. Like, I'm going to write down your name right here on my pad. I got my pad out. Josh, right? Got my pad out. You see it? I'm going to write down everybody's name. So let's say, you know, you're Mike in Amherst or whatever. I say Mike in Amherst says, you know, 10-7, loss in divisional round. And then you're going to remember it. I'm going to save this piece of paper. You're going to remember what you said. And then you're going to call me back at the end of the year if you get it all right. And you say, remember me? And I'm going to look and go, you're right. You're Mike in Amherst. You had that right. So let's do it today. 803-0550. We got to get these calls in before we get to Sean McDermott at 10:45 a.m. Sean McDermott at 10:45 a.m. Three Dog Thursday on a Friday. I think we're going to call it Four Dog Friday, maybe. We're going to change the name. I don't know. We're going to do something with that. But we're going to do it on a Friday today. And then we're going to have Patrick Hammer at 11:30. McDermott will also speak to the rest of the Buffalo media contingent after he's on with us later, and there'll be more there from him and more information, and there is a light practice out at the stadium today for the team. We'll get our final injury report with game designations. We'll get that first from Sean McDermott. We'll get that officially from the team a little bit later, and then it's on to Arizona. It's on to Arizona on Sunday. Josh, did you know this was a great question? This was a great thing we were talking about at the team facility yesterday. We were down there for practice, and a bunch of us were talking, and this made me feel really old, and I know you're going to make me feel old when I say this, okay? Did you know the Arizona Cardinals were once the Phoenix Cardinals?
I did, and Jeremy and Joe actually talked about this a little bit earlier, but I don't really remember them. I just know looking back at like history and stuff, like, oh, look, they're Phoenix for however many years here, and then they go back to Arizona.
Did you know what they were before the Phoenix Cardinals?
St. Louis. All right,
I love it.
Let's go.
A few of the younger media members who remain nameless on this particular show had no idea they were the St. Louis Cardinals and moved to Phoenix. And then became the Arizona Cardinals.
It's not that I'm remembering this or watching highlights.
I've looked at historical stuff.
I like looking at relocation and things like that. That's kind of my thing in sports.
I get it. Well, that's great, and you got it right there. Somebody said, what about One Dog Wednesday? I don't know. Thanks, Mike. I appreciate that. That's pretty funny. I don't know. Is there like something significance to that? One Dog Wednesday? I get it. Oh, whoa. One Dog Wednesday. I think we're going to do Four Dog Friday. Which could be Three Dog Thursday and go with three dogs. I don't really know. Either way. All right. You want to tweet me in? You can tweet me in. Thomas tweets in. 13-4 winning the Super Bowl against the Lions. All right. Did Kyle Brandt have him win the Super Bowl against the Lions or being in the Super Bowl at least? I think he might have. I saw a clip this morning. Didn't see that for sure, but I think that might have been what I saw. Asking for your prediction on the Bills season. Call your shot. What is the final record and how does the season end? 803-0550 is the number to call here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. All right, we're going to get started here with Joe in Tonawanda. Go ahead, Joe. I got you. What do you got for me?
Hey, I think the Bills, you know, it's going to be a bit of a heartbreaker, but 9-8 might get bounced in the wild card. I think we got a lot of young players that are going to do great this season, but they got to get some traction under their feet if they're going to do any real damage this season. That's my prediction.
Do you have them winning the division, or just going to a wild card, or is it just yeah?
No, I won't say who I think is going to win the division because I'm not even too sure yet. But I think we're going to be vying for a wild card there. Okay. I don't think it's going to go our way.
You got it, Joe. Thanks a lot. I got you written down, buddy. Let's go to Bob in Virginia. Bob, what do you got for me?
Sal, thanks for having me on. Just wanted to tell you a quick story first. We're driving up from Virginia right now en route, and we thought about flying this year. We drive up every year. We thought about flying, and we were like, as we were making the decision, we said, how are we going to listen to Sal on Friday and Monday if we fly? So we made the decision to keep driving. So thanks for giving us those 2 hours on the drive. We love it.
I love it, buddy. Thank you for that. What's your prediction?
I got 10-7, and unfortunately losing in the wild card.
Losing in the wild card. All right. Thanks a lot, Bob. Safe travels, buddy. All right, you got it. Yep. All right, we had Virginia. Now we got Texas. Let's go to Steve in Texas. Steve, what do you got for me?
Hey, I got division sweep, 11-6.
Ooh, nice.
Winning the Super Bowl.
You got, hey, our first Super Bowl prediction. All right, our first Super Bowl, winning the Super Bowl, 11-6. All right, with that, let me ask you this. Does Josh Allen win MVP if that happens?
Josh Allen MVP, Josh Allen Super Bowl MVP.
All right, you got it, Steve. I love that prediction. Steve is feeling it today. Steve is feeling it. Super Bowl. Let's go to Robert. Hoboken, New Jersey. What's up, Robert?
Hey, Sal, I'm telling you, this is a 13-win team. They're going to surprise a lot of people. They're not going to surprise us. And this is a Super Bowl winning team. Mark it down. I'll call you back the morning of the
I am marking it down. Robert in Hoboken, 13-4 Super Bowl. You got it. You are on my notepad. Thank you, Robert.
And Josh is the MVP, and James is going to run wild, and we're going to get something out of one of these guys, right? So we'll be talking about Khalil, or we'll be talking about Keon next year as one of those top five receivers.
I love it. Thanks, Robert. Appreciate it. I love the optimism. I mean, why not, right? Everybody's 0-0. Well, not Kansas City or Baltimore now. Everybody's 0-0. It's a time to be optimistic. They do have Josh Allen, number 17. A lot of unknowns. I actually, you know what? Ooh, there was something I thought about last night and I wanted to bring up today. Was kind of a tease take of, are we looking at this team a little wrong, a little different? Maybe last year was the step back. Think about, I went back, you know what I did last night? Last night I went back and watched some of the Bills-Broncos Monday Night Football game last year. And I thought, like, how did they let this Broncos team be here and beat this team? How did they let New England beat them late? How did they let the Giants maybe beat them close to it late? You know what? Maybe it's because they just weren't that good. And that's why they've reset this roster. Maybe we're looking at this team a little bit wrong. If I want to be glass half full, which I usually am, that kind of guy, I could spin it that way and say, maybe last year was the step back, and even though they won a bunch of games and they still got to the divisional round and almost beat Kansas City, if it weren't for some injuries, maybe they would have. Maybe last year was the year they actually stepped back and they weren't that good. Interesting, right? John in Rochester, what do you got for me, buddy?
Yeah, hey, you were talking about the St. Louis Cardinals a moment ago.
Yeah.
I think I have this, want to make sure I'm correct, but they were actually part of the original NFL. They were the Chicago Cardinals way back in 1920.
They were. I didn't bring that up because I don't remember that for sure, but you're right. They were a team that had relocated a couple times. And of course, they go to Phoenix, from St. Louis to Phoenix. They become the Arizona Cardinals, and then the Rams relocate back to St. Louis, and then the Rams go back to L.A. later on. So, thanks, John. I appreciate the phone call. All right, what we're going to do now is we're going to take a quick timeout, because then we got to take another timeout before Sean McDermott.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coach off, of course, when he comes on board. So we'll take a timeout here. Stay with me on your predictions. We'll get to your phone calls after this timeout on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
So I can't believe he's on social media. He was standing at me and he
said, do the impersonation.
I mean, can we just get the bleep off InstaFace and Snapgram? And he knew all the names of them because now he's joining it. And he can't have a picture with a suit and tie on. It's Instagram. That's where Bill has to let loose. Put a tank top or something on, show the chest and all of that.
Jason or Devin McCourty? Which one? Jason. I think it's Jason McCourty. Okay, that Jason McCourty there. I'm Bill Belichick on social media. I mean, we all know what this is about, right? I said it yesterday. Bill Belichick wants to be front and center. I think Bill Belichick wants to coach again. He wants to get the wins record. So he's doing everything he can to stay relevant and stay in the conscience of NFL football, give opinions, talk to people, keep those relationships going. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not even criticizing him for it. I just think that that's what this is. This is the long play for him. It's why he's on social. It's why he's on these shows, these podcasts, everything else that he's doing. Jason McCourty.
It was Jason.
Thank you. I appreciate that. All right, let's get back to your predictions here. All right, my man Curtis up in the Falls. What's going on, brother?
Hey, how you doing, Sal?
Good, thank you.
Put me down on the record, 13-4, and it'd be historic. And the sideways wind going down Delaware Avenue. People turn out for the Super Bowl parade.
And
yeah, baby.
And you'll be there. And you'll be there.
Yes, sir.
I know you will, buddy. Thank you. Appreciate you, man. Thank you so much. All right. 803-0550, looking for your Bills record predictions. And how is the season going to end? Let's go to John in Lockport. Hi, John.
How you doing?
Good, thanks.
I think we're going to go 10-7, squeak into the wild card, but I think Josh will get the MVP, and I think we'll finally get that parade down Delaware Avenue.
Oh, as a wild card. Wow. You have to go on the road a few times to do that. But you know what?
We're going to have to fight for it, but I think we'll get it. It's going to be what nobody expects it.
Yeah, I'll say this, John, and thanks for the call. I'll say this, that if the Bills get into the playoffs, even as a 7 seed, and have to go on the road, they'd be the most dangerous 7 seed. Can you imagine it? If the Bills are the 7 seed and they're going to the 2, whoever that is, Cincy or Baltimore or Cleveland or Pittsburgh, whatever, Jets, Kansas City, everybody's going to be talking about you don't want to play the Bills. You got Josh Allen. And that's right. I think no matter what, just get in because they have a chance. Now, you'd love to have the 1 seed and get that bye week. I don't even care as much about the home games. Yes, that's great, but it's the bye week that matters. But if you get in, you're in. And they have a chance. Let's go to Vince in North Buffalo. Hi, Vince.
Good morning, Sal. 12-5, second seed, a loss in the Super Bowl.
Loss. All right, who you got winning? Do you have somebody in the NFC you want to throw out there?
I don't know. It's so
yeah.
There's a whole bunch of teams.
I know,
that
right?
Could be in against us. I really, it's a crapshoot. I don't know. You know, I really don't know. What do you think?
I go back and forth on this in the NFC. I think the Niners are still the team to beat, I think. I do think that they have some issues. Age is catching up to them a little bit. I do like the Eagles still. I think the Lions are a very, very good team. They're everybody's kind of pick, but I still want to see that kind of play out. But they might be the most talented team overall in the NFC. I think the NFC is a tough one to handicap, Vince.
Sounds good.
All right, buddy. Thanks. Thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. 803-0550. Good stuff today. We've had everything from losing in the wild card to winning the Super Bowl. From 9-8 to 13-4. Let's pick up one more here. Let's go to Henry in Massachusetts. Hi, Henry.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
I'm going to go with 11-6, a little bit of up and down, but in the end, Bills win the Super Bowl this year.
All right, Henry, I love the way you think, and I hope it happens for all Bills fans out there. One more. We can take one more here, and then you don't have to grab any more because you got Sean McDermott coming up in about 10 minutes. Mac, down in the Bronx. What's up, Mac?
What's going on, Sal? What's going on, buddy? How's everything?
I'm good, buddy. How are you? You good?
All right, I'm good. I'm going well. No, I'll be fast. We got Coach coming on, so I'm going with 12-5. I got the Bills winning the Super Bowl as well as Josh Allen MVP.
All right, man. I love this. Thank you. This is what you got it. This is what Friday Week One is about, isn't it? This is what Friday Week One is about. You guys bringing the optimism. Let me just run through what I've had here. I just want to tell everybody for 1 second, all right? The first two callers, Joe and Bob, in Tonawanda and Virginia, respectively. Loss in the wild card, loss in the wild card. Then we had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 callers in a row say Bills are hoisting the Lombardi. That's what week one of Friday is all about. Hey, I hope it happens for everybody here in Buffalo. I'd love to be broadcasting and on a Super Bowl radio call. It'd be amazing, right? It'd be incredible to see a parade down Delaware Avenue. Optimism is what this is all about to start the season, and here we are. Let's take a timeout. We'll get Sean McDermott on here in about 10 minutes. He'll give us an injury update, and we'll get into the Arizona Cardinals and preview week number one with the head coach of the Buffalo Bills just about 10 minutes away here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. All right, welcome back to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Football Friday here on WGR. Football Fridays brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. We're going to have Bills head coach Sean McDermott coming up here in just a little while. He'll be calling in, and we will get an injury report today for Sunday's game against the Arizona Cardinals. Before we do that, how about Jessica Pegula last night? Unbelievable. I mean, and Mukova, who she played, Karolina Mukova, they were just amazing together. Some of these shots, some of these rallies, unbelievable. And I'm just going to be super honest with everybody and tell you, I watched way more of that tennis match than I did the football game last night. I did watch the football game, especially early on. They were both kind of, the tennis match started a little bit later. I was doing a little live, watch party broadcast, looking at them both. Once it got into the second quarter and I was done with that, I was more dialed in because actually when Jessica was down in the first set, so what happened was Jess loses the first set 6-1 and she is just getting dominated. And this Mukova was just playing fantastic, and Jessica couldn't do anything, it seemed like, against her. And I'm like, okay, it's nice to get here, semifinals, but I think it looks like this run is going to end here. And so I'm basically going to turn that off and go to the football game. So I did. And then she started to, I'm peeking in on it. She started to win a couple games. You're like, okay, good start for the second set. And then she just starts dominating the other way. Everything that was happening to her in the first set, she started to do to the second set. And then it was just pretty much, and I'm not going to say it was easy at all. I mean, she won the next set 6-4, and then she wins the third set 6-2. But man, there were some incredible games, incredible shot making, incredible play by both of these women. Just amazing. So Arianna Sabalenka is her now opponent in the U.S. Open Finals. How about that? And yes, Terry Pegula was at the match last night. He was there. He was in the stands at Arthur Ashe Stadium. And you saw the family. You saw Kelly. You saw her brother. You saw her husband, Taylor. I mean, it was just kind of cool to see that scene. Cool to see her get that love. And honestly, like, If you've ever ran into Jessica, have you ever known her? I've had a chance, fortunately, to talk to her a few times. She's been out of practice, of course, being with the Bills and Sabres over the years at times. I've had a chance to talk with her. Have you ever gotten it? She's just incredibly down to earth. You'd never know that she's this world-class athlete, one of the greatest in the world. I mean, she is now ranked fourth in the world in women's tennis. She's the number one ranked American woman in tennis. And what she did last night was just awesome to watch on that national stage. Great for Jessica Pegula. Just so happy for her and really want to see her win tomorrow. So tomorrow, I believe it's at 4 p.m. Let me check the actual time on that. I got to scroll through. Here's all my college football games. Wait, a lot of good college games on tomorrow as well. There we go. 4 p.m., yes. So you get Pegula and Sabalenka tomorrow at 4 p.m. And then, of course, that ramps you into Saturday night and feeling good about, okay, we got football tomorrow. And then what happens? You wake up on Sunday, you're like, woo, it's back, baby. You're going to smell that fall in the air, too. You know that smell. You know that smell, that fall smell when you wake up, football season, the dewy grass, right? I remember that when I was playing Pop Warner football for Cheektowaga Little Loop. I always remember that grassy, dewy smell on Saturday mornings we'd play. I'm like, ooh, this is cool.
That's
it reminds me of it.
I know it's a completely different sport.
Yeah, no, it's all right. It's good.
It's the same thing, because you'd go out early in the morning. That's when practice would always be, before it got too hot. And it would smell like summertime, too. Like the end the end of summertime smell. It's so good.
Now you can't get that smell as much anymore because everybody plays on turf.
We played on turf.
You did?
Yeah.
Wait. How long ago was this? You were playing on turf when?
So I graduated high school 7 years ago.
Okay.
And we had turf the whole time I was there. Like, they put in turf. Jeez, I don't even think. I might have been in like fifth grade when they put turf in.
Yeah, I mean, really, over the last 10 years or so, 10 to 15 years has been the explosion of turf in Western New York and around everywhere else when it comes to youth sports and high school sports. I mean, you go everywhere. I coach my son in travel baseball. We go to a lot of these facilities that have turf everywhere now.
I think my school might have been one of the first to like kind of hop on the bandwagon, because like I said, it was a long time ago. I don't even remember before they had turf at the field. So it's been a while, but they just replaced it recently too. So it's nice.
But you still had that smell though. That's what matters.
Oh, right? Yeah, for sure. Cause, I mean, it was just like an unmistakable, like, this is the first day of soccer practice. I'm going to run like 10 miles. And, you know,
I sometimes I'll walk outside and go, this kind of reminds me of when I was like 12 playing Pop Warner football, you know, with that smell. And that's what you get when you wake up, you know, on a Sunday morning. You're going to get ready for it. I mean, you're going to get all your tailgate stuff ready. If you're going to the game, if you're at home, you're going to get all whatever, you know, you have. Maybe you watch the game at home alone because you can't be bothered by anybody. I mean, we could do a full show on that. People could call up and tell us like how they watch games, because you're going to get everything from, we have to get together. We have a big party at my family's house. Everybody comes over. You know, put it outside if it's nice out, inside if it's not. You're going to get that. You're going to get, don't bother me. I'm just going to watch the game by myself. A few years ago, like I'm a hardcore Syracuse basketball fan, and we're going back a good 6 years, maybe 7 years now, because it's been a while, maybe 5-6 years either. Anyway, but I used to watch the game and while I'm on Twitter, on social, and go back and forth with people about the game. And I realized at one point, like, I was doing way more of the looking at my social media feed during the game than I was the actual game. And it was bothering me that I wasn't paying attention as much to the game, missing stuff. So I made a vow with myself. So just try this if you can, all right? Maybe it works for you. Maybe you need to have that social interaction. That's cool. Whatever works for you is fine. I'm just telling you, though. If you've ever felt like, man, I get too wrapped up in the social, make a vow with yourself. Just do it. I did this with Syracuse basketball years ago. I said, I'm not going to be on social media during the game. I'm literally, as soon as it tips off, I'm shutting off the computer. I'm not turning on the phone. And I'm just going to watch the game. And then afterwards, I can have some takes on it. I can read some people's takes on it. And it has been such a much more pleasurable, enjoyable experience to watch the game and not do that. Now, that's maybe because I just read too much into it and I get too much into people, what they say, and want to, you know, fight with people or something like that. But it's also a lot of overreaction. That's what I was trying to avoid. Like, oh my God, I can't believe how bad they're going to, here it is, they're horrible, or how great they are. Same thing can happen with the Bills games, right? You're watching Bills games, you're on Twitter, on social media, you're interacting with people everywhere. It was a much more enjoyable experience for me. And it has been. And that's why, and ever since then, I have not been on social during the games. So I like that a lot. Great job by Jessica Pegula, though. I read yesterday they had the stats on her playing against Sabalenka. So apparently they faced off. They played each other in the Cincinnati Open in the final not too long ago. And Sabalenka beat her. They've played seven times, and Sabalenka has won five of the seven. However, the two that... Right? She's 5-2 against Pegula. So 2-5 for Jessica. But the two that Jessica won on hard court, I guess they're 2-2 on hard courts. So that's nice. So if you're looking for something that, you know, you could say, okay, Jessica has a chance here because she's playing the number two woman in the world, by the way, Sabalenka. I believe she's Belarusian. She is, and she's ranked number two. Listen, I'm not a tennis aficionado, but I've been watching this and paying attention and reading this stuff, man. It's great. And Just can't wait to see that happen tomorrow. So hopefully Jessica Pegula at the U.S. Open in the finals. And then, of course, we have games all weekend. I'm going to get to our Three Dog Thursday on a Friday here in a little while. I'll give you my three underdog picks for the week. I actually have one I really, really like. I have one that I do not love, but I'm kind of being talked into it a little bit by a lot of the stuff I'm seeing and reading and hearing about this team. And then I have one where I'm like, okay, yeah, I can roll with that. Not a big deal. And then, of course, tomorrow you also have a whole slate of college football games. If you're dialed in on that, Texas, Michigan tomorrow. Number 3 against number 10. That's in Ann Arbor. That'll be great. That'll be fun. A lot of good college football on tomorrow. NFL on Sunday. What else you got in college football? Penn State, nice win last week. They're home against Bowling Green. We can run through that. Georgia.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking? I'm James Coe. Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is home, but Tennessee Tech should take care of business there. In the meantime, Buffalo Bills head coach Sean McDermott joins us right now here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Coach Sean McDermott's appearance on WGR is being brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Kaleida Health, the official healthcare provider of the Buffalo Bills. By Dunn Tire, official tire dealer of the Buffalo Bills. And by Northtown Automotive. For whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown.
And the head coach of the Buffalo Bills, Sean McDermott, joins us right now on the Wester Hotline. Sean McDermott's appearance on WGR is brought to you by the Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Dunn Tire, official tire dealer of the Buffalo Bills, and by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Good morning, coach. It is just me this year. Joe is only doing mornings with Joe, so we'll spend Fridays together. Great to talk to you again.
Oh, awesome to talk to you again, Sal, and looking forward to this weekend.
No doubt about it. Sean, before I do anything with football, how about Jessica Pegula last night? I'm sure you were dialed in. I know you mentioned wishing her good luck in your press conference the other day. I watched more of that tennis match last night, coach, than I did the football game.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
I mean, what an impressive display of resilience, grit, just love her journey that she's been on and how she's performed and how she's just been so poised and composed through it all. Just so impressed by her.
Yeah, no doubt. And I said earlier, if you know Jessica in any way, shape, or form, and you've ever had a conversation, you'd never know that she's a world-class athlete, the fourth-ranked women's tennis player in the world. She's so down-to-earth. She's so gracious. I know she's been out to practice, and she has a great relationship with you and your team as well.
No, she does. And I think it really speaks to, her family and how she was brought up and what they believe in and their values, and just really cool to watch her be so humble while she's in the spotlight in particular. So we're all pulling for her, and again, just so inspired by her performance over the last few days in particular, but we can't wait to watch her tomorrow.
That's right. 4 p.m. she'll play in the U.S. Open Finals. All right, Coach, let's get to the Barnes Firm Injury Report. The Barnes Firm Injury Report is brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Car crash for help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. Your team seems to be trending in a healthier direction than what it was a few weeks ago. What can you tell us about Sunday's game and how everybody's looking for that?
Yeah, so Javon Solomon will not practice today, so he's not expected to play at this point. So he's one of our rookie defensive ends, and he came up with an oblique a little bit ago, and so he's working through that. And then Duan Smoot was the latest one that came up yesterday, so he won't practice today. We'll see where it goes.
Okay. And then, of course, Mitch Trubisky has been on the injury report. He was a full participant yesterday. Where do things stand with him and his ability to be the backup on Sunday from your standpoint?
Yeah, we're going to continue to take it one day at a time. He'll practice today. You know, he continues to improve every day, and we'll see where that goes as well.
Coach, can I ask you, what is Smoot's injury? Is that going to be listed today?
A toe. It's listed as a toe.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thank you for that. That's the Barnes Firm Injury Report. Once again, car crash for help. Call 1-800-8-MILLION. Coach, DeMar Hamlin's going to start at safety. And, of course, we all understand and know his story, and you talked a lot about it and said, what can this young man not do, basically? What can't he do? And for him to be in this position, obviously, to be manning the back end of your defense with Taylor Rapp, just give the fans a little insight on what you've seen from his growth as a player, and even independent of what happened in Cincinnati through his 4 years here.
The other piece, as you said, who he is as a person, everything remarkable as a player. Sal, increased level of focus, increased level of consistency, and those two sometimes go hand in hand, right? So more awareness and understanding of the system, and it's just fun to watch. Anytime you watch a player and a person really grow and evolve, it's just really been fun to watch, and just super, super excited for him and his family.
Obviously, Cole Bishop and Mike Edwards have been dealing with injuries throughout, OTAs, mini camp, into training camp, in the preseason. They're guys that have to kind of learn a new system. How much is it about having someone you can trust to be back there, to be able to do everything you have to do as everybody else gets up to speed as they come back to it? No disrespect to DeMar not earning the job. He did, clearly. But how much is it also you need to make sure you have someone back there who you can trust with DeMar Hamlin and Taylor Rapp?
Right. I mean, listen, we play. Hey, if you know the system and you've got enough reps to, I mean, some of it's just player safety also to protect themselves.
Yeah.
And so if you haven't played in preseason, that's tough, right? In a real live game, some of that comes down to player safety once in a while, right? And just making sure that you get them enough practice time just in pads and so on and so forth. So, and there is an element too, having enough reps to learn the system. But I mean, our systems are player friendly, I would say, overall. And I think our coaches do a great job teaching it. But so we're looking forward to getting those players back and when they're ready to go. DeMar's getting a start this weekend. And like I said, we're excited for him. And he's got a great opportunity in front of him here.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott on the West Hur Hotline. Coach, we know now that Bobby Babich is going to be calling defensive plays. He is one of the coaches. You have a few of them who've been with you since 2017. We just talked about DeMar and his four-year journey. How about Bobby Babich and his, eight-year journey now with you and what you've seen from him?
Yeah, I continue to watch Bobby grow every year. It's interesting. He had a chance to, certainly work with the secondary, the defensive backfield there for a number of years, and then last season moved to be our linebackers coach. And I thought really did a good job. And, the connectivity of that and what that does and how that relates to our defensive line play in the front, and that's all important is if you're wanting to be a defensive coordinator in this case and call plays, because, you see it all the time, coaches who may only know one position, and then you're talking about not really being able to, understand what's going on and how it all fits together in all three positions, the front, to the middle, and the back end there. So I'm excited for Bobby. He's earned this opportunity, and excited to take it one game at a time here.
All right, week one, here we go, Coach. We were just talking, Josh and I, before you came on the line about, I said, sometimes I'll walk out in the morning when it's a little cooler. It reminds me of playing Pop Warner football with the smell and the grass. Is that what it's like for you on a Sunday morning, week one, when you wake up and you get out there and football's ready?
Yeah, it never gets old, does
right?
It? I mean, it's such a, if you didn't tell me, if I didn't have a calendar or a watch, I think I'd know what time of year it is, right? Just by, like you said, the feel in the air, the smell of the grass, and it's just awesome. I mean, especially in Western New York with our crowd and how excited I know they get for us playing at home in general, but certainly for a season opener that we get a chance to play here. Very grateful for that.
And obviously that team coming into town is the Arizona Cardinals, a team you're not very familiar with based on how often you play them on a schedule. Last time you saw them was 4 years ago, same quarterback, but a lot of new pieces. And, of course, a new head coach, new coordinators around as well. What's the challenge for getting ready for a team like that coming here?
Well, they're a good football team. And as always, you got to respect everyone. And so when you look at the pieces they've been able to add, I think they had, you know, a number of picks in the top 100 players this past year in the draft. And they've added some explosive weapons on offense with Marvin Harrison Jr. And you know, the new running back they got out of Florida State, Benson. So I'm very impressed with their personnel offensively and their ability to be explosive. Certainly Kyler Murray, Trey McBride, their tight end, who's really good, and we'll have our hands full on that side of the ball. And then defensively, they've got some interesting schemes, some unique schemes, in fact, and some really good players with Buda Baker over there being one of them. So it'll be a big challenge for us, one we're looking forward to.
And then finally, Coach, you just touched on it, being at home, this crowd. You guys have been on the road the last 2 years. You opened in L.A. a couple of years ago. You opened in New York last year, both night games. Afternoon game, Sunday, Orchard Park. How big can the fans be for the Buffalo Bills in this game?
Well, and Coach Levy said it, man. Where else would you rather be than right here and right now? That's what it's all about in Buffalo Bills, with the Buffalo Bills in Western New York, man. It doesn't get any better than this, and we're looking forward to it. And we just got to pace ourselves right now. Like, we're in the home stretch, and we're just counting down the hours. I know the fans are as well. And for us, at least, we're going to have to try and manage our energy so that we can execute. But we can't wait to be around the fans and their energy for sure.
Coach, looking forward to chatting with you every week again this year. Thanks a lot for joining us today. Best of luck on Sunday.
All right. Thanks so much, Sal. Take care. Have a great weekend.
All right. You got it. That is Bills head coach Sean McDermott on the Wester Hotline. One more time, his appearances on WGR brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com, by Dunn Tire, official tire dealer of the Buffalo Bills, and by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. We'll take a timeout here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We'll recap a little bit of what Sean McDermott said, a surprise injury that popped up that we can get to after this timeout on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We got a couple things to get to here. I'm just seeing this breaking news. Jalen Ramsey has just signed an extension with the Miami Dolphins. Okay, so Ian Rappaport and others are reporting the Dolphins and all-pro cornerback Jalen Ramsey have agreed to another huge extension. This time a 3-year, $72.3 million deal to, get this, make him the highest paid cornerback in the NFL again. $24.1 million a year for Jalen Ramsey, who's 29 years old, playing cornerback. He just became the highest paid corner in the league. And he played 10 games last year. And he's been sitting out with a quote-unquote mystery injury, which was finally revealed to be a hamstring on the practice report this week. I mean, okay, he had a hamstring injury. Or he didn't? I don't know. Because people didn't know. Was this a... Well, we're going to call it a hamstring, but he really hasn't been practicing because he's been wanting a new extension and they've been negotiating. And is that what happened here? I'm wondering. I don't know. But he's 29. When's he going to turn 30 here? That's a lot of money. The highest paid corner in the league. I mean, the Dolphins should not be in the business of extending older players, to be quite honest. They just had a revamped defense, especially because of financials. He's going to be 30 in October. He's going to be 30 in a month and a half. He's still a good player. I don't think he is the player he used to be, though. And you're going to pay him $24 million plus a year? This is a very, very interesting deal. Good for Jalen Ramsey to get the bag. Very interesting. 803-0550. If you'd like to join in here on our Bills Prediction Fest record and how the season ends. John in Detroit. What's up, buddy?
Yeah, hi. I really think that this is the Bills' year. I've been a lifelong fan. I think the offense is going to be dominating with a new look, and the defense will be just good enough. I think 15-2, and I think we're going all the way.
Wow, 15-2. I mean, I've seen some Super Bowl. Thanks, John. I appreciate that. Seen some Super Bowl picks. I've heard them from you today. But I don't think that I don't think I've seen a 15-2. That's, in fact, the first one. What do we have here? Here's how the predictions have gone for wins. 9, 10, 11, 13, 13, 10, 12, 11, 12, 15. As I said earlier, I was thinking about last night while I watched, weirdly, Bills Broncos Monday Night Football highlights from last year in that game. I don't know, man. I was just going down the rabbit hole. I don't know why it happened. It happens sometimes. I did. But you know what I kept thinking about? Like, I'm watching this. Like, how did they let this team beat them? Like, they shouldn't have let the Broncos come in here on a Monday night and beat them. Broncos were terrible last year. And then it dawned on me, wait a minute, that wasn't the only game, right? I mean, I know this, but you had the Patriots and what happened with Mac Jones at the end of the game. You had the Giants should have beaten them, I guess, if you want to know, or at least came within a whisker of it, I guess. You know, maybe last year was the year that they weren't that good. Everybody's talking about this year, step back, step back. I think last year they took a step back, now that I think about it. Maybe not in the wins, though. They still wound up winning games. Maybe they just found a way to win some games last year while they weren't as good. And then now that's why they've revamped and gotten younger and a little more athletic, and that's what we're looking at here. I don't know. That's a good, like, optimistic glass half full way of looking at it. But you guys are not just glass half full. You're pouring it over, man. You're pouring it out with these Super Bowl picks. So Sean McDermott came aboard a little while ago here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And he revealed to us that there was another injury. Dewan Smoot will be added to the injury report today as something that came up yesterday, a toe for Dewan Smoot. He will not practice today. The only other player who won't practice is Javon Solomon, and it looks like he probably won't play in the game. They're going to see where it goes with Dewan Smoot. That was a Barnes Firm injury report brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Car crash for help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. I should say car crash for help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. All right, let's get to it, Josh. We're going to do Three Dog Thursday on a Friday here. And then I'm going to ask you for a pick. So I think maybe what we're going to start doing is maybe call. Have you looked at the lines? Okay. And maybe, I mean, if you want, I guess you can pick one. You might like one that I like. It's just tough to pick all dogs, right? You can only have all dogs. So I'll give you one every week, and we're going to keep track of you. You can pick one that I like, or you can pick a different one of your own. How about that? You can do whatever you like, okay? Here we go. The first installment this year of Three Dog Thursday, but on a Friday. All right. This one, I just think is a nice play. Not going to go wild over it because I think this game can go either way. But that's why I'm taking the Jacksonville Jaguars getting 3.5 points over the Miami Dolphins and the newly highest paid cornerback in the league, Jalen Ramsey. I just think this game is going to be way too close to give any team 3.5 points. No idea what to expect here. Other than probably quite a few points scored. What's the over-under? 47, 48, I think? I think
49.
Well, okay, it is high. I still might go over. Okay? Here's why. The Jags have they've revamped their offense. Addition of Gabe Davis and Mitch Morris, of course, from Buffalo. But Brian Thomas Jr., they go out and they grab. They have a healthy Travis Etienne behind Trevor Lawrence. They have Evan Ingram, who's a really solid tight end. Of course, they have Doug Peterson, who's a very good offensive coach. And, of course, on the other side, we know what the Miami Dolphins can do offensively, especially early in the season when teams haven't seen them yet. This is a really good opening Sunday game. Two Florida teams in the South Florida sun. It's going to be hot. I think this game goes back and forth between the two teams. I think it's a higher scoring game. So you're gonna give me 3.5. I'll take that with the Jacksonville Jaguars to cover. I don't know if they win this game, but I think this is a 1, 2, or 3-point game at the end, either way. Okay, the one that I don't love as much, but I'm going to go with it because I've kind of been talked into it a little bit by the national talking heads. As much as the Lions are a darling favorite to kind of go to the Super Bowl or be right in the mix, lots of people are giving the Rams lots of love and what Sean McVay will do this year with them. I don't know. I'm not totally convinced, but I'm going to be a little convinced by them telling me to, right? So I don't love this pick, but I'm going to go with it because I'm just going to start believing, I guess, what I'm hearing people say about the LA Rams with Matthew Stafford and Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp and a solid defense and Sean McVay being reinvigorated and just wanting to, you know, last year was their reset year and here we go. He's not going to TV. He's coming back over the Lions who, of course, let's face it, Stafford, Goff, you know, it's going to be that whole thing again, the storyline, even though they played last year. We know the Lions are a very good team. I think the Lions are very good, and I do think they have a chance to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. There's no doubt about that. But I don't think they're a world beater necessarily. I think a good coached LA Rams team with a healthy Matthew Stafford is going to be able to make this a game. This is your Sunday night football game, by the way. Rams-Lions. And the Rams are getting 4.5 points in Detroit. 4.5 is quite a bit in a game like this. I'm going to take the Rams plus 4.5 over the Detroit Lions. And then finally, the game I do love the most. This is my favorite play of the week. I'm going to go with the Denver Broncos getting 6 points at the Seattle Seahawks. This is way more about the Seahawks than it is about the Broncos for me, though, okay? I'm just not sold on them right now. They're getting a lot of love nationally, and I don't really see why. Yes, Geno Smith's been good, but how good? Sustainable. I mean, even they might have that question. They brought in Sam Howell, not necessarily to compete with Geno, but he is there. I just wonder, like, where is Geno? What do they think about him? How good is he? I do like their new head coach, Mike McDonald. He's a very good, young defensive mind. But he's also now going into Sean Payton, one of the best offensive minds of our generation, and a Broncos team. As much as I just said they were terrible last year, I think they're looking to be. And look, they did wind up making a run last year towards the end of the year, right? I think this is a Broncos team that's looking to get out of the gate early, not have the kind of start they did last year, show they'd be contending in the West, even though I don't actually think they're going to contend with Kansas City in the West. I think they'll be better than people think this year. I like their approach, and Bo Nix has had a very good preseason. 6 points here is way too much for me to give away. I love 6 points. I think the Broncos can win this game. They might win this game on the field, actually. I'll call right now. I say Broncos go to Seattle and win the game on the field. But I'm going to take the 6 points for the Broncos as the underdog. So here you go. Jags plus 3.5 over Dolphins. Rams plus 4.5 over Lions. Broncos plus 6 over Seahawks. Those are my three. Josh, you get one. What do you like?
Well, you stole my thunder. I was waiting the whole time, and I thought I was going to make it through. And then, bam, right at the end, you steal my Denver Broncos.
That's okay.
Pick. But I think it's going to be more on the Broncos than on the Seahawks.
Okay.
Personally. So I think Bo Nix has got a lot going on there in a good way. He's working with Sean Payton. He's going to fit in that offense very nicely, I think. And not to mention the running back room as well, with Javonte Williams coming off of an injury last year. Jaleel McLaughlin looked really good when he filled in last year. So I think that Broncos team, like you said, has a very good chance to go out and win on the field and obviously cover the spread as well. So That would also be my pick. If you want me to pick another one, I will. But
no, that's, you do not have to pick another one.
All right. Well, that's what I'm going for. I feel confident about that.
I like it. The only thing that scares me is we both feel like it's the best play of the week. You get one, and that's your one. And I said that's my best play of the week. So now I'm scared, and everybody should bet the other way, I guess. That's the way it works here, right? That's why when you hear everybody's on one team, you're supposed to go the other way.
Listen, I'm the king of superstition, so okay. This is hard for me to do as it is. But I think, I mean, I don't have any faith, really, in the Seattle Seahawks. I think they're just kind of in a weird area right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Where they don't have their quarterback. They're not bad enough to get a quarterback.
And I also think that they're maybe a year away on defense. I mean,
yeah. Yeah, that defense is not at all what it used to be. I'm not really convinced by them at all.
Mike McDonald is a really good young defensive coach. I think he needs to get his guys in there, his system in place. He's probably putting together a little bit. Okay, he's going to try that first year, but we'll see where it goes. Some very interesting games on the schedule. On Sunday, and of course on Sunday night and on Monday night, we talked about some of them yesterday. A big one tonight, Packers and Eagles. You know, at the end of the year, a game like that could really go a long way in shaping the NFC. We spend so much time here talking about what the AFC looks like. You know, the NFC, NFC is going to be tough, and they have some really good teams, and I don't really know who's going to come out of there. I think, I would tell you, the NFC champions probably, how many teams are you going to put in there? How many teams could you actually realistically see winning the NFC? What teams can we put in here? Green Bay, yes or no? Realistically, yes.
I think so.
Okay, Detroit. I agree. Detroit, right? Rams? After everything I just said, I think I could.
49ers.
49ers for sure. Eagles?
I don't know.
Oh,
I'm curious.
What?
Well,
You couldn't see the Eagles winning. If the Eagles won the NFC, you wouldn't be like, you'd be totally surprised?
I wouldn't be totally surprised, obviously, but I just think that with all this weird stuff that seems to be going on between Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts and all of that, obviously there hasn't been much turnover aside from Jason Kelce retiring and Saquon Barkley coming in, but I don't know. The vibe feels off in Philadelphia. It's not like completely broken, but it just feels like it wouldn't be a surprise, but it would be kind of like, oh, wow. You know, they look like they figured it out. Looks like they sorted out all their issues. You know, like it wouldn't be like, oh my God, like that team won. Like if the Falcons came out.
All right,
and
let
won
me ask you
NFC.
This way. Would you be more surprised if Philly or Dallas was the NFC champion this year? I'd be more surprised if it's Dallas.
I think so too.
I just don't think what has Dallas done to get better?
Dallas hasn't really done anything. They still haven't signed Dak. And
he's gonna play though, but yeah, I mean but what have they done to get better this year? I don't even know.
Not much. I don't think, if anything. They didn't make many offseason moves.
No, saying they were going to be all in, they were not all in at all, except for paying CeeDee Lamb here, apparently, late in the process.
Yeah, I think it would definitely be more surprising if Dallas won. I just think with Philly, though, like I said, it just seems a little off. It seems off to the point where they'll still be a good team, but not good enough to win the NFC.
Do you know what game I debated taking a team? See what you feel about this. The Giants are getting a point and a half at home against the Vikings.
I was thinking about that one too, because I think that with Malik Nabers in that system, it doesn't matter who's throwing the ball. I think that it's going to work no matter what. I mean, Malik Nabers is, a big-time game changer for the Giants. But
see, for me, it's more about the Vikings. I just don't think they're that good. But however, they actually may be better with Bradford than they would be with J.J. McCarthy, especially early in the season.
Darnold, you mean?
Sam Darnold. Sorry, I said Bradford. I said Sam Bradford. Sam Darnold. Got my Sam quarterbacks mixed up. I think they could be better with Darnold than J.J. McCarthy, especially early in the season. And Justin Jefferson's obviously terrific. We know that. And I actually think they have a decent defense. We all here in Buffalo should be rooting against the Minnesota Vikings every game this year because the Bills have the Vikings' second-round pick. But for me, it's about the Vikings because I don't think the Giants are that good. I don't care about Malik Nabers. Yes, I think he's terrific talent, but I don't know if he moves the needle that much for me for the Giants this year. Yeah, he might make a play or two. And then Devin Singletary had a nice year last year in Houston. We know he's a decent running back. I think their offensive line has questions. I don't really know how good their defense is going to be. By the way, did you see the news? Brian Daboll is now taking over play calling. And not that it was like a surprise move, but it was kind of trending that way from Mike Kafka. And it looks like Brian Daboll is going to be back to calling plays. This is a big year for Brian Daboll. If they do not take a step, at this point next year, I don't think Brian Daboll is the head coach of the Giants.
I think that's fair. I mean, I don't think it'd be fair for Brian Daboll, but I think it's a fair assessment just because of the fact that this team was so good the first year. They signed Daniel Jones, and then everything falls off. And so that's where I think it wouldn't be fair on behalf of Daboll, just because I think Daniel Jones has been just the biggest disappointment ever.
What is your Sunday afternoon look like? Are you here for the games? I don't know, and I apologize.
This week, I am not. But
normally you would be.
I think normally I would be. I'm not sure.
Okay.
You know.
Okay, either way, the reason I'm asking is, what will you be doing for the Cowboys Browns game at 4:25? You somewhere dialed in watching that?
That one. So yeah. So after the game,
because that's Tom Brady's debut as an announcer.
Right. Yeah. So after the Bills game this week, I'm actually going to be going to my parents' house for dinner, and that's like, you know, while dinner's being eaten, we'll be watching that game just to, you know, see what that game itself is like, because I think that's going to be an interesting game too, because if Cleveland can get their offense right, that's going to be potentially like a shootout there.
That is the question though. I mean, even fans I know, Browns fans I know, will tell you Deshaun hasn't been that good since he's been there.
Right.
That's a big question, but you're right. Their defense was amazing last year. And
I mean, Miles
really
Garrett,
again.
Miles
he's
Garrett
incredible.
Alone can change any defense in the league. I mean, that right there will cause a lot of problems, I think, for the Cowboys offense, especially because the Cowboys offense already has its issues from time to time. So,
and honestly, I will tell you, I think Jim Schwartz is one of the best defensive minds really over the last, you know, 10, 15 years in the NFL, 20 years even. I mean, he's really good at what he does. He was here in Buffalo a little bit, and he's still manning that defense. And I think that's a team that, yeah, you know what? Probably a lower scoring game there, maybe.
You think so?
Right?
Yeah, probably. I was thinking, you know.
A lot of points?
If the dam breaks, I think it's just going to,
yeah.
I mean, just go. But
you never know week one.
It always depends on the quarterbacks, and those two quarterbacks have a lot of question marks around them. I mean, with Dak, it's, you know, can you, obviously we've seen him in the regular season perform, but, you know, can he perform super consistently?
Before we head for the timeout, I want to remind everybody, next week the Bills play on Thursday night. So we had a short week, short turnaround. However, I'll be back on Monday with the reaction show here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, as we do every Monday. Will it be a victory Monday? We'll find out. Will it be a decent weather Sunday? We'll find out after this timeout when Patrick Hammer joins us for his weekly weather chat. Yes, he's back on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Patrick Hammer, WGRZ TV2, chief meteorologist, after this timeout on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. All right, it's a Friday. It's a football Friday. It's brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash? Call Celino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. The Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Ladies and gentlemen, he is back again, ready to give you all of the best weather details that you can have for Sunday's game. He had me scared earlier in the week, but I think he's going to put me in a bit of a better spot today. We're going to find out right now from our guy, Patrick Hammer, WGRZ TV2 Chief Meteorologist.
Break it down.
When you need to know what to wear, is it going to rain? Is it going to snow? What to prepare for? You're about to find out. Here's Sal Capaccio with your game day forecast with Channel 2 weatherman extraordinaire. Here's Patrick.
Have a time.
And Pat joins us here on the West Her Hotline. I've never asked you, do you prefer Pat or Patrick, or does it matter or no?
You know what? I'm glad you asked. So it is Patrick. There's some people that just go with Pat, and I just let it go.
Okay.
But it is. I know my Twitter handle is Pat.
Yeah.
Hammer, but it's Patrick. Like, my wife is Kimberly. If you call her Kim, she won't even respond. It's got to be Kimberly. I'm not that crazy.
I respect it. I mean, your name is your name, right? I mean, listen, for me, if my mom called me Salvatore, I was in trouble, right? I mean, that was like the way, like, she
100%.
Yeah, but otherwise, you know. Well, I'll make sure I call you Patrick from now on. And you can be in trouble depending on what forecast you give me, you know. And if you give me a wrong one, maybe I will call you Pat. If you give me a bad one, I'm mad at you, right? There we go.
You might put another word before my name if I'm wrong.
I love it. Hey, listen, last week you gave us a little look ahead. You said there was a system coming, and of course the system is coming. You could tell us a little bit about that, what the timing of that is. And as the week started going, there was some question about what Sunday's going to look like. I've gone through all of the emotions, so tell me what emotion I need to feel about Sunday.
Well, okay, Sal, as your therapist, let's find a leather couch, have you lay down, and let's walk you through this, okay? A week ago, we're like, the apps are showing sunshine, and maybe there's a little weather system. And by the way, I'm all for weather apps. You can use them. It's just that in the long range, they can be somewhat not trustworthy. But, you know, in the short term, apps are fine. But, you know, last Friday, we were looking at something, you know, 10 days out. So that system that we sniffed out is, in fact, here. And as you can look outside, the skies are clouding up, and we're going to have some rain today and certainly overnight tonight. But as this thing has evolved, it's kind of moving through rather quickly. So that by Sunday, this system should be pretty much out of here, leaving us with what should be a very nice,
love it,
I mean, a perfect football day. Now, having said that, there's just a couple of little subplots here that I want to just lay out. Okay.
Yep.
Well, first of all, it's going to be a nice day. It's going to be, of course, on the cooler side. This is going to be a mid to late October type feel temperature wise. Okay. Probably right around 60 degrees or so, maybe, but you know, when the sun is out, you're in that stadium, 60 still can feel pretty nice. It will be breezy. There will be a southwest wind to a westerly wind, 10 to 20. It could gust as high as 25 miles an hour. So just a heads up for that. For early dawn patrol tailgaters, the air mass that's coming in is really cold for this time of the year, okay? So even though the system is moving out of here by Sunday, it's really chilly air aloft. Is still over us, okay? And this time of the year, you can't turn your back on a warm lake and a chilly air mass coming overhead, because sometimes that can spit out some clouds and even a little light shower. And there's maybe two little opportunities for that. Early in the morning, like overnight, Saturday night into Sunday morning, okay, there's a small chance. Then the sky should clear and it should be a pretty nice day, but a couple of clouds still could drift over the stadium, over the lake, from the lake, okay? The second opportunity is possibly later, maybe towards the end of the game, where you're getting a little daytime heating. Again, the combo of the chilly air, the warm lake. We've all been here long enough. This lake can do weird things. Yeah. And, you know, I can't rule out an isolated shower popping up in the afternoon. Hope it doesn't happen. May not happen. But I'm not trying to cover myself, but just, yeah. I can't ignore that opportunity, okay?
But it wouldn't be something like, I mean, do you see what we saw in Kansas? Did you see what happened in Kansas City last night before the game?
Well, I see, I turned it on. You know, I know there was a weather delay, but I didn't actually see the weather. I'm assuming, was it a downpour?
Oh, it was. Yeah, it was. I mean, it was lightning, monsooning, basically. So I go and look at the weather in Kansas City, like the app, because I'm trying, like, okay, what are they looking at here? And it was just like this little blip, this little one that went through, but it was massively hard. You know, the rain that was coming down and the lightning.
Kind of reminds you of the preseason game against Pittsburgh, right? Where it wasn't like, but there was that one storm right before the game, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. It's exactly what I was thinking of.
Yeah. So yeah, that's Kansas City for you. Remember
No. Real quick. So when you're talking about like an isolated shower, that you're just talking about if it pops up, it shouldn't last long, but you might get a little wet and then it's all gone.
A little like a sprinkle. Okay. A little right rain shower, then it's gone.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't bring your rain gear. I'm just saying, like, wait, I thought it was supposed to be. It is going to be generally a really nice day, but early in the morning, and then again, later on, there could be a little pop-up shower. But all in all, we should be feeling good about Sunday's weather.
And you know me, I just don't love the wind, right? I mean, like for football, it's just like, man, it plays havoc with the game, and you want to see it. I know, you know, the punt returners, the kick returners, the field goals. I mean, a breezy day, but we're not talking like overly windy where, oh my God, this is going to have a major impact on the game.
You know, you and I were at the Wing Fest at the stadium a week ago, and it was not a windy day at all by any means. But, I mean, it was supposed to be breezy. There was a time that Sunday early afternoon, it felt windy there, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that location, just with its proximity to the lake, it just gets swirly. And then the wind completely died off. I think for this Sunday, I think this is the kind of a breeze that could have a little bit of an impact on the kicking game. Okay. I do believe so. I think it's not a strong gale.
Sure.
You know, you get 10 to 20 miles an hour, but then that occasional gust to 30, that can have an effect.
Okay, so this little system that's coming in, what's the timing for? I know you just kind of ran through this a little bit, but what should we be aware of overnight, tonight, into tomorrow, and throughout Saturday?
Yeah, I'm a little concerned about, high school football tonight. I believe there's a slew of games.
Yeah, for sure.
So we're going to have a quick little shower possibly in the next hour or two. But then as we head into the afternoon and evening, rain chances are going to ramp up. It will definitely rain overnight tonight. And it's going to be a good soaking rain. But the evening, There could be issues with the Bisons game. There could be issues again. Your kids have afternoon sports practice or any kind of game. And, of course, football tonight. There is a chance of some rain and even some thunder rolling through. So the most unsettled period of this weekend is from this evening through early tomorrow morning. Tomorrow will not be a washout. Initially, it looked like it could have been, but this rain is on the move. So a lot of this falls while we sleep. Tomorrow, kind of cloudy. There will be some spotty showers around, but it will be cool. It's only going to be in the – most of the day will be in the upper 50s, low 60s. I know. Crazy for this time of year.
And then, Pat, the Bills have a quick turnaround. Jump on a plane to go to Miami Wednesday, play the Miami Dolphins on Thursday night. It's September in Miami. It is a night game. We've had all different weather over the years there as far as rain, as far as heat, as far as humidity. We know that. What are the early indications for Thursday, even Wednesday, and maybe, you know, into that for people who are going down there next week?
Yeah, a very typical kind of late summer, early fall weather pattern down there pretty much all week. Temperatures around 90. You know, for a high, which means probably low to mid 80s for the game. Very humid, and there will be shower chances each and every day next week. I know they're hard to time in that environment, as you know, but there is probably a 50 to 60% chance of some rain passing through during the game, which means there's also a 50% chance it doesn't.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying there will be showers and thunderstorms around Miami. And most of Florida, quite frankly, next week. So if you're heading there, there will be rain. Just hope we can avoid the game. But showers are in the forecast.
I mean, literally, like you talk about the apps, they could literally copy and paste this time of year for Miami, right? That's a copy-paste, copy-paste, copy. It's just crazy.
You look for yourself. If you just go onto an app or you look at an official forecast, it's literally 89 degrees, 50% chance of rain, Monday through Friday. Now, when you get closer, you can be more specific and you can see what's happening exactly. But at this point, when you're a week out, you're kind of in generalities at this point. So, yeah, it's a copy and paste forecast next week for Miami.
You know, Patrick, I feel like there's been a less active hurricane season in the Atlantic. But I know there are a few systems out there right now. Is that my imagination or is that true?
There are, but nothing that's really developing or forecast to develop. We're breaking all sorts of, or are about to break records for a lack of hurricane activity in the Atlantic for this time of the year. Like, if nothing happens today or tomorrow, it'll be the first time in like 30 years there hasn't been a tropical system for the first week of September. It's crazy, given the predictions of such a crazy hurricane season.
Yeah.
And now, this season, you know, we're nearing the peak, so a lot can still happen. There are a few systems out there, but nothing that's of concern in the next, you know, 5-6 days. So I have a feeling it's going to ramp up later on this month. But for now, yeah, it's been very quiet.
I don't mean to put you on the spot if you haven't looked at it, but considering it's, you know, in New York still, tomorrow night, Jesse Pegula plays 4 p.m. At the U.S. Open. Any disruption there from what you've seen on your weather models?
Yes, rain is going to be heading there.
Wow.
So that is, I'm glad you brought that up. I'm heading in that direction myself. So the rain that's coming through here overnight is going to be basically traveling down the thruway through tomorrow, heading right for New York tomorrow evening. So that could be hopefully not an issue, but it's certainly a possibility.
Did you watch last night? Did you watch her play?
I watched some of it. My daughter had a tennis match, so I was all thrown off, and I couldn't, you know, I got a late start on everything.
I didn't know your daughter plays tennis. Hold on. I didn't know your daughter plays tennis. Tell me about that. Tell us about that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, she plays. Yeah, she plays for Hamburg. So we had a tennis match against Amherst yesterday, and you know, sometimes the Amherst to Hamburg drive can be 20 minutes or it can be an hour. Anyway, so I got kind of back late, but the thing I just can't fathom is how down she was early on in the match and the rally.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
It was awesome.
And I love what Coach said. I was able to listen in earlier, how humble she is. You know, Coach loves humility.
I can attest. She really is. You would not know. You know, in our business, as we know, Pat, right? In our business.
Right.
That we get to spend time and meet a lot of different people, and sometimes it's like larger than life, you know, people that in their industry, whatever it is, This is the number four ranked women's tennis player in the world. And she could be just like out at a random Buffalo Bills practice one day and just kind of chatting with you. It's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. And I love, you know, her Buffalo references she makes when she thanks the crowd after a victory all the time. And
yeah,
she's in a hostile environment, right? And she's like, yeah. Go Bills. I love it. You know, in New York Jets territory. I love that. It was a great victory and so proud. And gosh, I hope she's able to repeat it tomorrow night.
If you are up for it, maybe we could do something next week sometime here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show before the Miami game.
Midweek. Let's get together and we'll go over Dolphins, Bills.
And
believe they're playing them already.
Yeah, of course. And what it's going to be like on A1A and Elbow Room and everything on Wednesday night, where all the Bills fans are going to be gathering. We could talk about that.
Yeah,
hey, Patrick, thank you as always. Really looking forward to our weekly chats once again and really appreciate you keeping all Bills fans and everybody else informed on the weather.
All right. Talk next week.
All right. You got it. That is Patrick Hammer, WGRZ TV2 Chief Meteorologist on the Western Hotline. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on this Friday of Week 1. Okay, let's wrap up this segment by letting you know that when we get connected with our fans, which is brought to you by Northtown Kia, sometimes it's because I say something that you catch on and say, wait a minute, Sal, that's not correct. Well, I didn't say anything incorrect, but I should have noted, and I didn't because I didn't realize it, and now I do realize it because thank you to so many of you who remind me that Arthur Ashe Stadium has a roof. So, even if there is some inclement weather headed to New York tomorrow for Jessica Pegula's final against Aryna Sabalenka, 4 p.m. at Arthur Ashe Stadium, it shouldn't be a problem. Mick, who tweeted at me, Adam, who tweeted at me, and 85 Scout, who tweeted at me. Thank you. I appreciate all of that. And I should have realized it. I do remember now that that is the case. I don't think it's open. I don't think it's closed very much. But they do have a roof. I'm actually looking at the story now. It was completed in 2016. So it's been around for a while. And $150 million retractable roof debuts at this year's U.S. Open. This is, I think, written in 2016. Yes, it was. Putting an end to the lengthy rain delays inside the biggest stadium in Grand Slam tennis. So there you go. Arthur Ashe Stadium has a roof, and it won't really matter if there is rain for the final. But good luck to Jessica Pegula. She plays tomorrow at 4 p.m. Hey, great start to the year on the Friday edition of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And of course, all football Fridays here on WGR are brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash? Call Celino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Sub, start your game day the Crosby's way. Thank you very much to head coach Sean McDermott. He obviously comes aboard every week. We'll do this. Now, next week, there is a Thursday game. The plan right now is for Sean McDermott to join us on Wednesday, but we'll keep you updated on that. And then, of course, the Bills back on a Monday after that. So everything's going to be a little bit, you know, in flux when it comes to having the head coach of the Bills on every week. But we're going to make sure that, you know, we get that to you and get the injury update one more time. The Barnes Firm injury report looks like Javon Solomon is trending towards not playing, but also DeJuan Smoot has a toe injury, will not practice today. And we're going to be monitoring that as the day goes on. You got Sabres Live up next, One Bills Live after that, Show with the Bulldog. I'll be joining the guys at 5 p.m. a little bit later today on a Buffalo Bills Football Friday. One more time, Sabres Live is up next. All you got to do now is take a break, and we're going to be back in a snap with that. Brought to you by Snap Apple Dragons, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Nor Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.